Welcome back, Silas.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing well. Yeah, sorry about that. It's a little technical difficulties.
Yes. So anyway, go ahead. Continue.
So yeah, I was I was talking about the velvet and whatnot. So yeah, like I said, you can you just mount that headpiece onto a 2x4 and then get some molding putty and kind of mold up kind of a skull pattern, and then I know Corey did it once, and he used like a leather chamois that you use to clean your car. Put that over the top and you know, of the antlers, and then, you know, ran it up to the base of the antlers. Used some pretty cool string to wrap around there, and then you let it all dry, and then you can hang it up in your house. Wow. So I decided that's probably what I was going to do this year, and so the buck's looking good. Everything dried up well, and I guess the other part of that hunting is I decided this year, I normally process my own meat and wrap it up, but I decided this year that I'd save up a little bit of money and get it processed, myself at Steve's Meat Market. That's in Arvada, for anybody that, is looking to do some good, get some good meat processed. Steve's does a really good job.
Is that Arvada, Colorado?
Yes, Arvada, Colorado. So it'll be right off of Wadsworth, and I think it's I-70 going north. You run up there. It's right there in Old Town Arvada, right next to the Army-Navy surplus. It was very cheap. I think I only paid $130, and I got 80 pounds plus of meat done. I got hamburger and then some sausages made out of that. So it was really nice. And then I kept one hindquarter to make and wrap my own steaks and some roasts and whatnot. So, overall it was a really good experience, really fun. But I still had a cow elk tag that year. So I think I stayed up there before I went home. I shot it on the 3rd. And I think I stayed up there until the 7th, trying to find an elk, and never connected. And then went back home, got all my deer and whatnot taken care of. And then made another trip back in there with Dylan, and we did some hunting. So it was nice to be able to kind of knock out the deer tag early. Mm-hmm. That way I kind of focus on elk and trying to get that. And so, It was overall just an awesome experience, and it's something I'll never forget. And like I said, being the fact that it was solo, first archery buck, first velvet buck, biggest buck that I've ever taken, all the things kind of added up, and I was, like I said, 10 out of 10 would shoot again. I was, I wouldn't take it back for the world. So it was it was a really fun experience.
Well, it sounds like it. And pretty happy for you, actually.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'd like to get us all back in there again and see if we can all have some success. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would definitely like to go back in there. I mean, it's been, like you said, since 2006, 2007, since I've been
2007, I'm pretty sure.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And really look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. It was, at first it wasn't really a game-rich environment. Not a lot of people were seeing things as far as elk.
Mm-hmm.
The people that would see elk had a deer tag. The people that would see deer, had an elk tag. So. Yeah. It was a little tough. Some of the people that you talked to were, saying, "Oh, this place is blown out," and, it might have been. They had opened up that road maybe a week before we got there due to some of the wildfires going on around the state. So we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to make it into this unit at all. So I think the fact that they opened it up and a lot of the other units and areas that people normally hunt were burned up, it kind of pushed them all over to where we were. So, the hunting was a little tough the whole year. It kind of slowed down as far as foot traffic towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. but you know, so many people get burned out at that point. And I wasn't per se burned out as much as, you know, I hunted every weekend in September, but I normally hunt Wisconsin during November and then do a rifle elk hunt with my family in October. So I just wanted to make sure to save up some time, and it wasn't a huge deal for me to get back out there, you know, and try and get an elk, because I knew I had a bull elk tag and then two deer tags for Wisconsin. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much when my hunt came to an end, was, you know, kind of last week of September is when, you know, I kind of shut everything down and put the bow away and started to just focus on work and getting ready for October 17th, which was when we went rifle hunting. Right. So,
and that was kind of a fun experience. I guess you had said, I talked to Dylan and he explained what happened to him during our rifle season. And that was a unique experience. I'd also like to get your perspective on what you saw while he was going through that, because he expressed that you kind of guided him through some things as he was fighting to get his deer.
Yep, for sure. You know, probably as most listeners heard, you know, Dylan went out onto this flat and he was, you know, had a pair of binoculars. They weren't the best binoculars. He had better ones. These were just ones that he kept in his pack just as a backup. And he's looking around and, like he said, I was not in hunting mode. I was in eating mode. The snow was, you know, blizzard was happening. It was coming down. And, you know, he said, buck on the hill. And I told him, go get his rifle. And he said, are you sure? And I said, you know, whether it's a deer that you want to take or not, you know, we don't know if there's more moving through the trees, you know, just get your rifle just in case. And, you know, what he's talking about when he said that, you know, I kind of guided him through some things was, you know, I stood there and watched the deer group, just kind of moving up this hill when he went back and got his rifle. When he got to where I was, I went back and grabbed a pack so that he had something stable and comfortable to shoot off of.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we just kind of, like he said, we cut the distance from 600 to 230-ish yards. But the whole time, you know, that buck would look up at us, we'd stop. You know, and I was literally right on his back, you know, breathing down Dylan's neck. And so we moved as a unit, really to get in there. There was no talking between us. It was, you know, we were in sync. We were on the same wavelength, you know, and we didn't have to communicate to make sure that we were both there. And, you know, I regret it to this day because I was pretty sure that I was recording, but either the fact that the snow came down, it stopped the recording, or, I mean, I only had 30% on my phone and my battery tends to kind of muck up whenever it gets really cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I started the video. I have about 15 seconds of that video. And then it just cut off. But, I mean, yeah, it was just an incredible experience to be there. As Dylan's, you know, Dylan's hunted a lot with us, but, you know, he hasn't been able to be successful. He's never drawn his own tag.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to draw a tag and be able to be there, literally, like I said, breathing down his neck, when it all happened, was just incredible. And, I know that I'd pointed out in the first podcast that we did, you know, you asked me about how does it feel when somebody else is successful? You know, and I told you, I'm just as happy for other people to be successful as when I am. Because of the feeling that I had when I was bow hunting, you know,
mm-hmm.
You see that animal on the ground and you know, I'm going to feed myself with this. You know, the whole way that everything, you know, every hunt goes down is going to be different. You know, those things mean a lot, and it really just, you know, it directly correlates in my eyes to the reason that I go out there hunting.
Mm-hmm.
is to harvest animals and to be able to experience those, the highs and the lows and the ups and downs of chasing free range animals, And so to be there with Dylan when he was, you know, able to finally take not only a buck, but I mean the biggest buck that anybody in our family has ever taken. And, you know, one of the biggest bucks that most of the people I know have taken, you know. So, you know, that was kind of icing on the cake, but he's, you know, he's a family man. And he wants to provide for his family. And I was glad that I could be there to help him do it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was certainly something I'll never forget. And you know, we had the other guys in camp. They saw it all go down as well. So, you know, it's a lot different than how it used to be, is you'd roll into camp and some people, you know, weren't there hunting with you. So you'd tell them the story and they get fired up. But, you know, in this instance, we were able to all see exactly how it went down. So we compared, you know, what do you think happened on that first shot, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, everything after that. So it was a real team experience. And that's, you know, that's, like I said, that directly correlates to why I'm sure we all go hunting is to have moments and experiences like that. I mean, it's raw, it's unscripted, you know, and I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from it is being able to do those things, being able to go hunting and harvest animals.
Right. Yeah. And also, I went in talking to Dylan, he had two chances. And that's very rare that a person gets to shoot or an opportunity to shoot at two.
Yeah.
Instead of,
yep.
You know, I mean, that's very, very rare.
Definitely.
Usually the person is so distraught that they kind of give up on hunting, but Dylan
had
another opportunity and it just fell right into his lap.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, you know, I told Dylan when I got there, I was I had a wedding on opening day of rifle season. It's my best friend's wedding. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So, you know, I said, you know, I'll miss opening day, but you know, it is what it is. And I remember that next day, I think I left about 8 o'clock, but right about 7:30, 7:45, you guys had given me a call, and I said, you know, what'd you see? And I remember you said, I'll let Dylan tell you that story. And Dylan, you know, gave me the story and said it was a huge buck and he missed. And he just quit shooting after two shots and he doesn't know why, but you know, it just, that's just the way it went down. And, you know, I felt bad for him because I know how much he worked for it. But I told him right then on the phone, I said, you know, I know it sucks, but I'm glad you didn't, because I'd really like to be there. You know, when you're successful. And he said, you know, that'd be important to me as well, Silas. And so, like I said, I left there at 8 a.m. from Bailey, Colorado, and had probably about a little less than four hour drive to get up to where I was going. And I showed up at 12:15, and Dylan shot his buck at 6. So, you know, not too much longer later. And, you know, he had a deer down. So,
yeah,
you know, again, I know it sucks to miss, and I've been there, and, you know, I lose a lot of my patience and faith in hunting when that happens as well, especially when it's a deer as big as the one he missed. But, you know, I'm glad I could be there, and I'm glad that he didn't allow those feelings to kind of take over his hunt and make him feel unsuccessful. Because it all worked out in the end. So, you know, little side note on that is I got a friend. He's the guy that actually had introduced me to the spot there, and he had a deer tag as well. And he said that some other people that he was talking with during the third season rifle, that's when he had a deer tag for, it was third season.
Mm-hmm.
He said these guys were elk hunting, but they'd sit out on this meadow and they'd see these same three bucks walk by. You know, every day. And he said they were huge. And out of these three bucks, the smallest one was the one that Dylan missed on opening day, which was probably 190-inch deer. There was another deer that had a drop tine and points and stickers going everywhere. I think he was a mainframe 5x5 with brow tines, two stickers on the left, one on the right. And then the other one was just a big, probably about a 200 inch mainframe 4x4. So, you know, there's the opportunity for deer in that unit is huge. I mean, there's big bucks, but there's also small bucks, and everywhere in between. It just, you know, I think it comes down to right place, right time. And Dylan was certainly in the right place at the right time, and I think he shot the perfect buck for him.
Right.
I'm not going to say he would regret it if he did shoot that first buck, because it was huge, and he wouldn't regret it. But, you know, it's everything just has to kind of, you know, all the cards have to fall in the right place when you're hunting. And sometimes it happens, and then you look back and you're like, it all was a blur. And then, you know, other times, like my archery hunt, it all happened fast, but it wasn't a blur, you know, because I was able to apply myself and my knowledge and whatnot. And I think that's the same thing that Dylan got out of that. So it was,
right.
It was a fun year. We had some elk tags, and I saw some elk, but you know, just, you know, the movement wasn't really as good as it had been in years past. And, you know, that's fine. That's why they call it hunting.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it was definitely, I mean, the year as a whole was incredible. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, myself and Dylan were successful. And I know the other two guys in our rifle camp were, you know, unsuccessful at getting their cows, but
yeah. And it's very rare that you can get cows in that unit, but still,
yeah,
it's all good.
It is.
It's all good.
It is. I know that third season when my buddy was up there, they saw a lot more elk. So I think the elk moved back in. The thing is, 2019, we had a snow, and, you know, in my knowledge, if you get snow, the elk are going to move down a little lower to get some food.
Mm-hmm.
So we hunted down low that day, and there was, you know, nothing going on. Came back middle of the day and went up top for the evening hunt, and there was elk tracks everywhere up top. So, you know, come 2020, we got snow again and a whole bunch of it. And I said, all right, I'm going to go up top because that's where the elk were at. And I went up top and I stayed there from, I was there at 5 a.m. until it got dark, about 30 minutes after dark, and I didn't cut a single track.
Mm-hmm.
But down low, people, I think 4 bulls got shot that day down low. And then throughout the rest of that week, a whole bunch of other people filled their tags. So,
right.
You know, it was just a toss up. Year before, they went down low or stayed up high when it snowed. And then this year they went down low, you know, so it's just, you know, it's a toss up, but, you know, I don't regret it at all. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, we learned more about the unit, and, you know, overall we're successful as a camp. We were able to take a deer, and, you know, that's good.
Yeah. So, appreciate you coming back on. Sorry we got interrupted there for briefly, but.
Yeah, that was probably on my end.
Yeah, but that's okay. So how would someone go about getting hold of you? Do you have any social media posts? I know you talked about Onyx Hunting Maps. Can you explain a little bit about what they do?
Yeah, so Onyx is a mapping software that you can download on your phone, your computer, tablet. You know, just about anything like that. It kind of acts as a GPS. So, you know, on my phone, I'm able to go onto there and do some scouting. And then I can also download offline maps. You can do it from 2 miles, 5 miles, and then up to 10 miles of a map. So you download that map. And then as long as you're hunting within that map, you don't have to have cell signal. You don't have to have anything like that. You can zoom right in to see specific trees, water, drainages, things like that. So it's a very useful tool, you know, because if you don't have service, you can't pull up Google Earth like you used to be able to do.
Right.
And if you have a GPS, that's good. But, you know, the screen's going to be smaller. It doesn't allow you all the tools that Onyx has to be able to do it. So, You can get one that allows you to look anywhere in the world at software. And I don't know how much that one is, but I just always renew the Colorado maps every year. And that's only $35. So it's pretty insignificant as far as price for the value that you get from it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I definitely recommend anybody who's new into hunting or even just wants to get a better layout of whatever unit that they've been hunting for a while. You know, get Onyx. You can get on there and get a 7-day free trial that allows you to do everything that you'd normally do with the full premium membership.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I tell people just, you know, go on there. The first couple years that I did it, I just used a different email for 7 days and used that instead of buying the premium membership, because that was how long my hunting season was. But yeah, definitely. It's a great tool. As far as connecting with me, I have a Facebook. That'll be under Silas Morris. I don't get on there really much. I think I've been on there once in the last 8 years, so I should probably delete it. But I mainly do a lot of my stuff through Instagram. And on Instagram, my main name is Silas Morris, but my Instagram handle would be silas.morrisoutdoors, or it's silas.outdoors. And on there, I have, you know, all my successful hunts, a lot of my fishing, hunting, you know, kind of just everything that I do basically day to day. And that's really it. I go through Snapchat. That's under S Morris, S-M-O-R-R-E-S 23. So if anybody wants to get on and kind of look at some of the things I do on Snapchat, that's where you can find that. Yeah, that's really it. Based out of Inglewood, Colorado right now. So if anybody's interested in linking up for fishing, hunting, swapping some stories, or, you know, grabbing a beer and hanging out, you know, send me a message on either one of those platforms, and I'd definitely love to get a hold of everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that. I'm also thinking of putting this on Instagram.
Okay. Yep.
I may have to involve your help. So.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd definitely be down to help you do that. So then for you, then if you're going to do Instagram, do you have any stuff for people that you know, where they can find, say, this podcast or maybe your personal page or things like that? I mean, where can we get a hold of you?
Well, they can go on Anchor. Look up hunting : voices from inside. They can look there. And also they can look it up, that same name, look that up through Spotify.
Okay. Awesome. So, and that's where what about social media? What accounts do you have there?
Well, social media, it's BMOR24.7.
Okay.
That's my Instagram post.
Okay.
So, and like I said, I may even, I think I started a hunting voices from inside post that I may start putting stuff on. So,
okay, there you go.
So anyway, so I appreciate you taking the time this Saturday morning and coming back on and sharing your story. It was a very interesting story.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you reaching out and letting me tell it again. I mean, I get fired up every time I tell it. So mm-hmm. I appreciate being able to share that with some more people. And I mean, certainly anytime you have some questions or you want to just kind of pick my brain about hunting, fishing, whatever it is, just feel free, reach out, and I'll definitely be able to do some talking.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Also, I may be calling you or getting a hold of you and seeing if you would recommend anybody else that would be interested in talking about their hunting or fishing trips.
Okay. And yeah.
And how they feel about them and what their experiences were. And
yeah.
It's like that with this podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I will, I got a few names that come off the top of my head right now, but you know, again, I can share it on my social media and see what, you know, some other people that might want to get on and do it. I have a couple people on there that I'm, you know, they've done podcasts with other people before, so I know that you know, they wouldn't mind just sharing maybe even just a hunt recap and kind of what they're about. So
okay. I really appreciate it. And I will definitely be in touch with you. So
yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate your time as well, and your interest in my success and why I hunt. And I guess we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.